Dala Fish Hauling Show, huh? I wouldn't listen to that gutless shower if you paid. That's wrong.
These bluffers know as much about top-level hurling as I do about the sleeping habits of the Ayatollah.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Welcome along to the first ever Smaller Fish Hurling Show. We're in association with Benetti Menswear. Featured stock list can be found online at benetti.ie. So thanks to everyone for tuning in. I want to introduce my two guests for the first ever show. Our first guest, he's a newbie to Smaller Fish, like we all are, but he's out of stock with me. He's out of stock in Borrisaleigh as well. Paddy Stapleton, how's it going?
Not too bad, Willie, not too bad. Thanks a million for signing me up. Feel privileged and delighted to continue on. And I suppose just the best of luck with Smaller Fish. I think brilliant to see you going off on your own now and trying to wiggle your way in, I suppose.
That's what happens in soccer, isn't it, Paddy? A manager transfers somewhere else and he brings all his old staff with him.
Yeah. You kept the black book, obviously, of details, did you? And you got us all back on board. But no, it's brilliant. Look, to us, it's the same thing, really, isn't it? We'll just be talking and saying what we think, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, so he brings a lot of his old lads with him. He also makes some new signings as well. So I want to introduce one of the new signings. It's Niall Rigney. He's one of Laois's best ever players, also managed Laois and a lot of club teams as well. We're actually former teammates, Niall. 1997 County Final football. We've bad memories of that. You were dabbling in the big ball on and off.
Yeah, thanks, Willie. Thanks for the invite. And obviously, as Paddy said, the very best luck with the show. Dabbling with the big ball. I was more of a decoy now, Willie, than I was a second skilled player by any means. I left that to you, lads. But I think it was more of a protector than anything else.
Yeah, you definitely were. You scored 2 points in that county final, if memory serves me correctly. So you were more than just one bit of advice here, though, Niall. You have to say, as this, there's a lot of hurling snobs listen to this show. You say you were only playing football to stay fit for the hurling.
Well, I actually said that to myself this morning. That's what I'll tell Willie if he asked me. I always did. I played rugby just to keep myself fit for the hurling, and football also to keep myself fit for the hurling. But yeah, I think I scored 2 points in that final, actually. I still don't know how, to be honest, but I did.
it's actually interesting. You mentioned rugby. You played rugby at a very high level as well. Your brother Brian obviously played for Ireland.
He did. In 1991, he was captain, February 91. I suppose we all, most of the family did, most of the lads. I have 7 brothers, and we all, at certain stages, played rugby. Yeah, I played Leinster Junior in 91 as well, the year Brian was capped, and then I actually packed into hurling, Willie, GA, and I went to concentrate on playing senior rugby, and I went to Greystones and Wicklow, but unfortunately after a few months my career was abruptly ended with a bad injury. I got a bad neck injury in my cervical spine, and it finished me basically, so I was out of action for a couple of years. I had to retire from the game, and that's how I ended up going back to the GA, really.
Right. Okay. Jesus. No problem playing hurling.
No. Thanks be to God. I had a great surgeon, Kieran O'Rourke. He's a brother of Colin O'Rourke, the main footballer. And it was in Vincent's in Dublin, and marvellous job. I had a prolapse of my C3, 4, and 5. And I had a fusion done where I have permanent plates and pins put in place. That was 1991. That's 31 years ago now. Well, and thanks be to God, I'm good to go still.
Yeah, you're not too bad. Talking about Paddy, footballers playing hurling. I interviewed Niall Deasy last year. It was after Ballyhea won the county final, and he kind of said the bit that hurling snobs don't say out loud. He was the one that actually admitted it. So obviously Ballyhea are one of the only hurling clubs in West Clare. It's a football kind of side of the county, and they have a good few footballers from different football clubs around that don't have a hurling, part. Along with their club, and he said that the hurlers score the points, the footballers do the donkey work. He said that they're flying fit and they're great for getting stuck in and everything, but at the end of the day it's the hurling boys that have to put it over the bar.
Yeah, well, I thought that was the more snobby again, as if to say, well, look, at you're fit, you can run, you'll do well on the hurling team, but you're actually not able to do the skillful part at all. And sure, isn't that what we said? Any lad who can't play hurling plays football. So I think that's what Niall is alluding to there, but it is. But you would see it. I think if you're not fit in football, you haven't a hope of being on a team really, like of that, of any standing, like at a senior level in club or anything. But in hurling, you know, we even saw one or two maybe yesterday with Kilmallock. You don't have to be overly fit all the time. You might get away with one or two lads, and they usually have the great hands. But yeah, a lot of footballers come, and you don't see too many that are unfit. All right.
Talking of the Munster hurling final yesterday, Niall, like, I mean, it was disappointing, really. I thought we had a game in the first 2 or 3 minutes. That's probably pretty much all we had a game for. Kilmallock started well and got stuck in, and, you know, scored 2 points, intercepted one of Stephen O'Keefe's puck outs, and Sherdane 1-6 without reply, and geez, that was kind of it.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, Willie. They, I thought, yeah, after a couple of minutes, 2 points to no score to Kilmallock, this was great. It was a physical contest. I remarked early that the tackle that Aaron Costello made early in the game, you know, it was a free to Ballygunner, but it was a serious hit. And it was just from then on that, like, Ballygunner were able to just change tactic completely. They went away from bringing the ball into the contact, they'd use the width of the pitch, the depth of the pitch, and they just move the ball without taking it into contact. So basically nullified the physical challenge that Kilmallock were trying to bring to the game. And look, they're just a serious outfit. But it was just that, they stopped the ball going into the contact and moved it as fast as they possibly could, and they were very economical with the ball.
Yeah, I suppose, Paddy, Kilmallock kind of looked like your more traditional team, and Ballygunner are this kind of new style team, and they didn't, you know, like Niall says, they're moving it on too fast to get a good clip at them.
Yeah, and as Niall said, the first few minutes, maybe the first 10 or 15 even, I know it didn't seem like a game all that time, but Kilmallock were hitting them so hard. They were hitting them so hard and so fast, but very hard to keep that up. And I did think at the time when Kilmallock had them shook a little bit early on, they weren't taking their score as well. Even the shots they got, they were nearly wild strikes. They were brilliant. They looked brilliant, but you can't continually, like Hoolan hit a great one on the sideline, yeah, but you can't continually hit them scores. Like, that's why we talk about percentages. And there was balls dropping into O'Keefe's hands, and there was balls just being mishit and misplaced and poor wides. And I just thought, if they can't keep this up, they have to keep within some sort of distance of Ballygunner, because they're too efficient. And of course, as we might talk about, the goal that went in, it was a mistake at the back, and when that went in, you just felt, you know, the air going out of the Kilmallock lads, and they could not keep up that intensity that they were doing early on. It's a club team. It's very hard at inter-county level to do it, but the hits they were putting in, and while it was brilliant and it was a little bit wild, it was nearly too wild because it was shown in how they were hurling then the rest of the time, which wasn't particularly, I suppose, intelligent.
Yeah, they seemed to be they were all over the place. The one thing that kind of, you know, stood out to me, Niall, was, do you remember the attempted point that Stephen O'Keefe, I think it was a point, he put his hurl back behind the crossbar. And, like, I mean, a goalkeeper would never really risk that if there was somebody at full forward, but there was nobody in front of him, and he was able to risk it, drop it down into the 6-yard box, and there was no Kilmallock lad within 20 metres of him.
No, there wasn't, no. And I suppose the others, probably in their defence on that one, only, I suppose, with the hurling side, with the ball going in so fast, you know, they probably thought that it definitely was a score, make no mistake. And I think Donald McGrady actually said in the commentary that, you know, there was no Hawkeye, you know, in use, although I think there is Hawkeye in particular, but obviously it was not in use yesterday. But it definitely was a score, and it actually led to a Ballygunner score, if I'm correct, the ball he brought down. I think Paddy Mahoney scored a free from that ball that O'Keefe brought out. But I think the big thing that I saw from Ballygunner yesterday was just their movement was just incredible. Like, for a club team to play it with that high octane game that they play is just phenomenal, like, you know. And they just completely snuffed out, you know, as Paddy just said there, that, you know, Kilmallock, there's no way any team could keep that physical challenge up for even 30 minutes, you know, whereas after 10 minutes, you could see that they were actually struggling, and Ballygunner sensed blood, you know, and they just moved that ball as fast as they could inside, especially to Hutchison, you know, and they just tried on it.
He's unstoppable, Paddy, isn't he, at this stage at club level? Like, I mean, you see Colin Fennelly for Ballyhill, he's unstoppable at club level. We know that in a different kind of a way, but Desi, like, geez, it almost seems unfair on a club cornerback.
Yeah, and it is, sure, but, like, it's like Conor Callaghan, wasn't it, a couple of years ago for Coola. It was like, who is actually going to be able to mark this man if they get any quality of ball in? But that's the thing with Desi Hutchinson, it's a match made in heaven. Ballygunner play a particular style. Niall was saying they move the ball quickly, they keep hold of the ball, so if you can't get them hitting 50-50 ball up the pitch. Now, Loughmore did it to an extent in the middle third of their match against them in the semi-final. But if you can't get them hitting the ball 50-50 up, then like he will, Desi Hutchinson will clip scores off anybody in the country, I think. Even, you know, I know Sean Finn probably has his number a little bit at inter-county level, but there's a huge amount of protection with that team in Limerick. Just in, like, Sean Finn's brilliant, but in terms of, you know, tackling out the field, making sure the ball isn't good going in, making sure there's bodies around him when it goes in. But at club level, they'll pull you all over the place, as Niall said. The Mikey Mahoney is out in the wing every time looking for the out ball, and then they're not striking it willy-nilly into the forward line. They sit in deep, he sits in deep, and he's crisscrossing over and back. And then when you're faster than somebody, like he is, he's faster than everybody nearly, and you get good ball in, and he's a great touch and strike. So it is impossible. But what I like about him now, he's going for goals a lot more. When he came back playing hurling first, I know I even marked him. He was very content to hit a lot of ball over the shoulder, twist and turn, he put it over the bar, and now he's going for the jugular, and he just really is something to behold at club level.
Well, like when you see Ballygunner there yesterday, like, I mean, and I saw a stat saying that the last time Ballygunner won it, which was 2018, there's seven new players in that Ballygunner team, so it's a pretty new team. And then I did a bit of a cross-reference, Paddy, to when ye beat them, and there's only like three or four new lads on it, but not huge names or anything like that. Like, I mean, it puts your win against them, like, you know, onto another level, really.
Yeah, probably does. But look, I think you can get matches like yesterday as well. Like, if Noel McGrath stays on the field against Ballygunner, or if John McGrath, I suppose, if that penalty isn't overturned, we mightn't be looking at Ballygunner in the Munster final today.
Yeah.
So I do think sometimes Kilmallock, you know, the pitch they were playing on, big, open, expansive pitch, I'm sure it was like a summer field. They got a goodish start, but didn't take their scores, conceded a poor goal, and then, you know, a team like Ballygunner, so experienced, as Niall said, they sensed the blood, and they kept on going like a machine. I think it can just go against you like that. But I don't think Ballygunner are as good as what the scoreline was yesterday, but they certainly are, you know, something that's going to be really tough to play against.
Padraig Mahoney was interviewed after the game, Niall, and he was asked about, you know, the hurt. They kept mentioning it was only a mile across the road in Páirce Rinn when, you know, Boris Ali beat them. And Padraig Mahoney said they didn't use that as motivation at all. And he said it kind of made sense as well. I would have thought they would have used it. But he said there's new lads, say the three or four new lads that weren't involved in that win. Padraig Mahoney said there was lads not involved 2 years ago. So it would be unfair with us getting caught up in what happened 2 years ago when there's new lads coming in, bringing new life, bringing new energy to the set up. And I suppose maybe that makes sense too.
Of course it does, Willie. I've seen it for myself, say, as when you're a manager of a team or whatever, coaching of a team, and you're in a position where you're able to bring in four or five new faces. I remember a few years back, it was 10 years back now at this stage, when I was in James Stevens at Kilkenny, there was actually six players who were actually only in minor grade who won a senior championship before they won a minor championship. But it was the fact that they were in the setup and they just brought energy to it.
Yeah.
The older fellas, the likes of Larkin and Tyrrell and as like that, they were thrilled to have these young fellas bringing in this level of youth. And you know yourself as a young fella, would have been, you're 18, 19, so you're carefree, you know, and you're bursting with energy. And Paddy Manning spot on with that. But also on that, I would certainly think, you know, the loss to Boris Lee maybe 2 years ago obviously was a motivating factor as well. And you probably sense that in the captain's speech, you know, that the management stuck with them and they believed in with them, you know, they constantly encouraged, they didn't give up on it where other clubs might have done. You know, it's a sign of a serious setup that they have.
They must have been chomping at the bit at that yesterday, Paddy, because, like, I mean, they were favourites to beat Yee. They had won it and they'd narrowly lost to Ballyhale Shamrocks, and then Yee beat them, and then COVID ruins the Munster club. They're dominating Waterford. They're thinking, Jesus, we need to get back into this bloody final.
I imagine they're ravenous, you know. I think it doesn't have to be mentioned. When you lose a match, Jesus, if it has to be mentioned to you, then it doesn't mean enough to you, you know. And it's like when you have won something, then that's when you're vulnerable. When you haven't, it's an unwritten and an unspoken word that we did lose a couple of years ago. I really want to get back to the top level here. And, you know, that was there yesterday for them. As I allude to different things there, I can remember in 09 to 010, the All-Ireland, Jesus, I mean, nobody had to say a word. You couldn't buy the hunger that we had, and I'm sure you couldn't buy Ballygunners yesterday either.
Yeah, maybe you don't have to. Maybe it is. I think Padraig Mahoney mentioned something that on a personal level, maybe that's what motivated lads, but that's not, you know, that's not what they were talking about as a team now.
Yeah, definitely. But just But I can go back to Desi Hutchinson, Wooly. I watched him very closely. Desi's in college in Turles, in St. Pat's. My eldest son, Cormac, is actually there with him, and they're both of them hurling the college team. They're playing the Ryan Cup. I don't know whether Desi was playing, maybe not now at this stage, but I just watched him closely. I got up close to him on the sideline, and I just, Paddy, you played a good bit of cornerback play, and this fella, I'd never actually seen a corner forward does what he does. Well, you would have played, say, football on a full forward line or whatever, corner forward, and obviously you want to let the cornerback on your inside. This fella allows the cornerback to go on his outside, you know, and he tries to trap the ball on his, going on his inside, and he's turning at the same time by trapping the ball. Now, I watched him that day in Turles. He 3-7 scored after about 34 or 5 minutes, and they took him off, you know, in a college game. He's just, and as Paddy just said, the one thing that he's doing is just, he's heading for goal, you know, and he's a serious outfit. Like, he'd won 5 scores yesterday from play, and realistically, you know, the Paddy Mahoney line ball, brilliant save, yeah. But, you know, he could have had 2-8, 2-9 yesterday. You know, I think this fella is a serious detail.
Yeah, he's on a different level. I've mentioned that some brilliant goalkeeper, Barry Hennessy, save from at that time, I suppose, Paddy, that would have been game over. It was game over anyways, but as you were watching it live, you were like, that was an important save, or this would be getting away from Kilmallock.
Yeah, it would, yeah, yeah. No, it's a great save. And in fairness, he had a good game, but I'd say Daisy probably was good hype, but still, you know, very, very good save. But I thought even, you know, the couple of saves from Stephen O'Keefe in the second half were very impressive from Henley. Henley came on and he kind of ignited Kilmallock a little bit. It kind of gave us something to look at for the last 15 or 20 minutes. But I don't know, did that last save, the one in the end line, did it hit him on the head or did he save it? I don't know why.
But that was outrageous skill. I want to talk about Conor Hanley here, Niall. Like, I mean, like, let's call a spade here. He's not in shape, but he's a fair operator. Like, I mean, if he was properly fit, you'd imagine he walks onto that team. He looks like he has all the skill in the world.
Incredible. You know, he's only 19. You know, he's only a kid, like, you know, and if trapping that ball, the John try trap into the hand, you know, and the turn and the shot. Immediately, I think he did save it, Paddy. I think it was. It was an excellent save, but if it was on target, it would have been some score. But yeah, look, well, if he was in shape, you know, geez, I think Limerick have enough good forwards at the moment, particularly on the inside line. But you know, he definitely would be pushing something. But like, I suppose he was a chink of light for them when the light was nearly gone out. You know, and he was very unlucky there with that ball, Willie, the one he volleyed. You know, maybe a bit of conditioning or pace to his play would have got him there. But he's fearless. You know, as I said, he's only 19 and he has something.
Yeah, you're showing your era now. John Try was the one who started that chop. Most people listening to this now will identify that's the Keane Lynch chop rather than the John Try one. John Try did start it, though. He was the first one to do it, right?
He did. You're spot on, yeah. He got an all-star that year, actually, 1999 against Antrim. He scored a great goal into the canal end, yeah.
Isn't it amazing, though? I remember in the 90s and John Try doing that, going, Jesus. Like, I mean, I remember thinking that. And now you have fellas at club level doing it. You know, Garrod Hegarty does it without thinking. Keane Lynch can actually stick his hurl into a ruck and bring it back.
He does it between his legs, won't he? You know, which is worse, like, you know. He's making a laughy altogether.
Yeah, no, it's pretty. What did you make of Conor Hanley, Paddy? Had you heard of him before? I hadn't, but I'm going to keep my eye out for him.
So, like, no, I just saw him in the county final he came on with. And I just took my eye. I said, geez, his striking of the ball off his left-hand side was phenomenal that day. I thought he took a great score and he came in. And I was wondering, then obviously I saw him come on the last day and just his first ball he got again, it was like an inter-county score, bang, without thinking straight over the bar. So I imagine he has phenomenal skill. And just that little bit on the end line, I just thought it was bowled. You know, give the eyes that he was going to go across the goals and pass it. And he just whipped one straight at Stephen O'Keefe. And as Niall said, he probably saved it. I thought, did it come off his helmet? But he hit so hard that the camera didn't barely even catch how it was saved. But it was saved in the end. But I thought he just had a bit of imagination. But look, there's, you know, there's some great players in every club that we don't actually know about. And, you know, it is hard to talk about because we obviously see that he's probably not in as good a shape as he would want to be. But he's probably the one saying to himself he'd love to be in that shape himself. So, you know, that's really, really tough. But hopefully as years go on, we might see more and more of him with Kilmallock.
Yeah, no, definitely. What about Kilmallock then, Niall? Like, I mean, they were very disappointing. Tony Considine said after the game, he says, you can say the new ground, a new stadium, you can make excuses. We've no excuses whatsoever. I know in my heart and soul, and the players know that they're better than that, but for some unknown reason, they didn't perform today. Were they allowed to perform? They're definitely better than that, Niall. Like, I mean, the Limerick Championship, like, has Patrickswell and the Pearshig, and, you know, Doon, all these good teams.
Absolutely. Well, I was at the two Limerick semi-finals. I was with Doon a few years ago myself, and I just went down to the semi-finals. They were playing Kilmallock that day, and Kilmallock were excellent. And I actually came out of the game saying Napiercig were beaten that day by Patrickswell, and I actually thought myself that Patrickswell will probably take the championship now. But an on-fire Graham Mulcahy in the final, scored 7 points from play. Huge win. The one thing that they did fear, though, Willie, was, and it was exposed to a huge extent yesterday, was the pace in their full back line. But Considine is spot on. Tony Considine, I think, is a great guy, a brilliant manager, a great clear man, great hurling man. And he was spot on yesterday. But I think, you know, you're spot on what he did say, Willie. You know, he was very complimentary of Ballygunner, but also incredibly disappointed with his own performance. They said that themselves, but it's hard to hear a manager glossing over it when he's saying, look, we got to win at the Limerick Championship. That was a great achievement. And it was a huge achievement and a massive performance in that final. But I don't think Willie, they were allowed to play, to be honest. You know, I think Ballygunner just were completely dominant for 90% of that game. I think it was only tight for the first 10 minutes, really.
Yeah, no, that's a, like, it's a weird one losing with the club like that, Paddy, because, like, I mean, not only are you disappointed, but there's also a feeling you kind of embarrass the county almost as well. Like, I mean, I know even this year, Port Arlington, you know, played well against Kilmacud Crokes, and I was really proud of them because I thought, you know, that's a good reflection of the whole Leash Championship, you know, like, that kind of feeds into it a bit as well.
Yeah, and I would have supposed with Lochmore playing the last day, I think, against, but as we know now, an excellent Ballygunner team, and Noel McGrath sent off very early in that game, and how they battled and looked as good as Ballygunner. I said, you know what, fair play to them. They're after really putting it up to them when everything was against them. And it is tough going. I suppose we had a lot of champions in Tip for years, and they didn't go too far afterwards. And you would be very, very disappointed. And no one more than yourself. But I do think Kilmallock are a lot better than that yesterday. I saw them in the county final, and I was very impressed with them. But they played a lot smarter that day. They played on the edge. You know, we always hear managers about playing with control, aggression, and sometimes that gets guys too passive, but you certainly, that was an example yesterday that was a bit too wild. But as you said, it is disappointing from their last game of the year, even though, like, you know, after a few weeks I think they'll be so happy to win the county final. But it is, you know, you do like that golden time of representing Limerick in the Munster Championship, the All-Ireland Series. Like, that might never happen again, and it is a super feeling, but it is a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, Graham Mulcahy never got a puck of it, Niall. Like, Gavin O'Mahony was taken off, and he'd be one of their leaders. You'd Philip O'Loughlin, their captain, I think he went off with a back injury. You'd Houlihan, who was man of the match in the county final, went off injured. You'd Oisín O'Reilly, who I think is a great bit of fire in his belly. He's a very good player. He got a terrible clash of shins early in the game. I don't know if that affected him. It's just none of their big players even were in the reckoning, really.
No, they weren't, Willie. And I think it summed it up, really. If I just remember looking at the clock yesterday, and it was 61 minutes in the clock, and Graham Mulcahy was actually the last player back. I think the final whistle actually blew with the ball in Graham's hand. You know, and that summed it up. You know, Graham Mulcahy is 7 points from play, like I said, in the county final. And yesterday, on the 60th minute, he was actually in the full back position. You know, that was probably the level of frustration, that they just couldn't get their hands on the ball. They were so far up the field. You know, Micheál Houlihan, yeah, he was injured, but he wasn't in the game up to that either. Well, you know, Oisín O'Reilly, serious athlete. Just the run he made along the stand coming in along the end line was very unlucky. But, you know, again, he wasn't in the game. He was snuffed out of it. And, you know, I just think overall, you know, they were just very, very poor up front. But just, I think the one thing I did remark on when he was the very first puck out that Kilmallock made, to have this, it was a simple tactical move where, you know, the goalkeeper's pucking it long on the left side of the field, but actually the 12, David Wolfe and the midfielder on that side, the two of them run to the opposite side of the field. You see it a lot in football, where the half-back runs onto that space and the goalkeeper tries to put the ball in front of him. But the minute he tried it, the very first ball, he had two Ballygunner lads just waiting under the puck. They had every angle covered, you know. And yeah. I just think they were just tactically excellent, and hurling ability just way ahead. But Kilmallock are not that bad. I did it, to be fair to them, winning a Limerick championship was huge. They had huge scores in that to win that Limerick championship. You know, and I think Tony Constantine just reflected on that a lot too, you know, that they are not that bad, but it's probably their worst performance of the year. But in saying that, he was complimentary to Ballygunner on that too.
Yeah, well, we know that, Paddy, talking on the show a lot, when teams are trying that big, let's run the whole way across the field into space, sure, the trick around that is just to hold your positions. Limerick are masters at that, right?
Well, that's it. Like, and I think Ballygunner so far down the road in the style of play, and you know, there's so much tried in the Waterford Championship and the Munster Championships that they know they're confident in what they're doing. So if you were maybe against a less experienced outfit, there might guys on a big day like that start following their man or not keeping on the assignment that they're assigned. So yeah, I mean, it is fairly 1-on-1 in defending puckouts. Like, you know, it's not overly, and they would have seen it in other matches. You know, if that's something that Kilmallock tried before, you're damn right, or you know damn well that Ballygunner would have looked at any video that they can get their hands on, and they, you know, that'd be something that you'd be snuffing out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't want to be disrespectful to St. Thomas's, who obviously has another club mate of ours, Niall, involved in him, yeah. Tommy Fitzgerald and Slocknail as well, but there's a collision course happening here with Ballygunner and Ballyhale Shamrocks. Like, I mean, Ballygunner aren't far off an inter-county team. Like, I mean, they're that good. We know how good Shamrocks are. They gave Clock Ballacolla, I might as well give that a mention here, Niall, because I didn't cover it when I finished in my last job. Ah, look, poor old Clock Ballacolla. Some similarities really with Kilmallock. They're kind of big men, never really played too well on the day. Willie Hyland taken off, Stephen Bergen taken off, Mick Mack taken off. You know, like, I mean, other than the first maybe 20 minutes, it wasn't a contest either.
No, it wasn't, Willie. And to be fair to Clock Ballacolla, there was probably no one more disappointed than themselves in that. I was at the county final here, obviously, this year, or last year, when they beat Burris Cotton, and they were excellent. It was a brilliant county final. And we don't have too many of them here, to be honest, but that was a brilliant, brilliant county final. And Ballacolla had a really good win then over Rapparees, and, you know, they were Kilmacud, and, you know, they were on a high going into the final. But to be honest, Willie, I think tactically they got it wrong. They brought back a man, but they played him in no man's land. I think they were afraid maybe of TJ Reid. With Mick Mack, as you just said, who's been a brilliant hurler for both club and county. And Mick is probably, you know, he's 36, 37 now. And I think they were probably just afraid that if TJ Reid picked him up, he would do serious damage on him. So Ballacolla actually brought back a guy and played him in front of Mick, you know, at where he was in no man's land. If you're going to bring a guy back, obviously we would know that you play him behind Mick, if anything. But he was just lost. He was just snuffed out. And that's where all the damage was done inside. The space wasn't covered behind. And that's where Colin Fenley just basically, after 10, 15 minutes, just broke loose.
Yeah, when Colin Fenley gets going at club level, Paddy, he's serious. You've had to prepare for him, Paddy. Like, again, him and Hutchinson, completely different players, but almost it looks unfair. Like, he was the difference again. A beautiful goal as well, where he kind of improvised by lobbing the goalkeeper as well. Like, I mean, when he gets in, he does the batting move lovely. Mm. He's got lovely little moves when he gets in there.
Yeah, it's kind of off the cuff stuff. Yeah, with a lot of it. I'd say he just has some sort of knack, whatever it is. But the key is he gets in right in front of the goalkeeper. Like, he only knows one direction, and that is straight past your shoulder and straight to the black spot. And that's what makes him so dangerous. He uses exactly what he says. Sure, we all know Colin Fenley isn't the sweetest of hurlers, like the most skillful, the most, you know, that he looks that smooth as he plays. But he uses what he has, which is absolute raw strength. Maybe this is one of the strongest hurlers that's played the game over the last number of years, and the fastest. So that's what he does. He gets the ball and he makes no apologies. It goes right down your throat. And when he gets into the keeper, I'd say he's so much experience getting in on the keeper now that he just goes to instincts, flicking, kicking, tapping, batting. And that's what it is. And even his easiest chance, he nearly missed it, where he turned in on his left and he kind of hit it off the toe of the hurley and it flicked off wide. And he even said that himself after the match. So that's the way he is. And you will get some poor misses off him, but then he flicks the ball in and he does things that, you know, TJ would struggle to do. So he's one that's really difficult to mark at inter-county. For an inter-county hurler, he's really strong, so you can imagine at club level how difficult it is to contain him.
Yeah, so he's retired from Kilkenny. Joey Holden's retired too. There, I think Colin retired after the county final. Joey Holden maybe after the Leinster final. I'm not too sure. Recently, anyway. So Conall Fennelly's retired, Niall, and this is something that I just can't get out of my head. So who's going to replace him at full forward for Kilkenny? Is Paddy Deegan the odds on full forward for Kilkenny next year? Like, the county final this fella had was off the charts, and I didn't believe it. I seen him at full forward, because you don't see these matches, you're just reading the paper and seeing, geez, Paddy Deegan got 1-1, he's playing 14, I wonder is he playing there, is he going out the field? And then you see the county final, he's playing full forward and he looks like a complete natural.
He does, and he also plays a corner forward. Well, he did. Well, Loughlin's over the years, I mean, I saw him myself a good bit, Gorta Comerford, Martin would have played 14 for Kilkenny and 13, almost nearly 13 with his club. Paddy Deegan now has taken up that role almost with Loughlin's, where he plays 13 and going into 14. But look, you see all hurlers today, what it just, positions really mean nothing anymore. You know, they can play in any position really. But look, it is a huge surprise. Look at Barry Nash, for example. Paddy would know that, you know, Barry Nash is a half forward, corner forward, had a lot of hurling half forward. Now he's back at corner back and picked up an all-star this year at corner back. You know, so these players are so versatile today, they can play in any position. And yeah, it is a surprise with Paddy Deegan playing in that position, but you know, his scoring rate is huge. Again, he's very, very strong. When he picks a ball, you know, he does like a Colin Fenley for a lot, and he puts the head down and heads towards the goal. And yeah, he's a serious asset in there for them as well.
As a man who's attempting to go into the forwards for your club, Paddy, I'm not sure with the same success as Paddy Deegan. Can you appreciate him?
I can appreciate it. I think my experiment might be over at this stage, but yeah, no, I can appreciate it. But he did play midfield before as well, so I'd say he's one of those players that has played up and down the line. But there is a massive difference between playing in the forward line where your back is completely to goal, and even playing midfield where you're sort of, you're still can sit back in that. And corner back obviously plays for Kilkenny, but it is very, very impressive. But I think Niall's right. Young lads playing these days, their striking is on such another level. Like when I grew up, my striking didn't have to be great. I hand passed it out to lad, or I cleared it down the wing and my job was done. Whereas this, like I know even playing with, say, with the likes of Barrett and Mickey Cal, like the two of them could take scores absolutely no problem. Barrett was probably trying to take too many scores, you know, even as a cornerback. So they want total hurling. And I think as a player now, the object is to have good striking so you can keep the ball. And that goes into striking over the bar, goes into striking for goals. And Paddy Deegan, I don't know if they try him up there. I think in club and intercounty is just so different. I don't know if he'd be tried up there. But maybe Kilkenny, they might have no choice because, you know, they don't have the picking they had before.
I was thinking back because we're talking about this before Christmas and, you know, corner forwards going into full forward. And the one that always jumps out into my head, Niall, is Paul Shelley, who went in from corner back with Tip into full forward. He's some great battles with Brian Lowen, and he looked like every inch of a corner back playing full forward, but he was bloody good.
He was excellent. I remember I was at the Munster final in 97 in Parky Kiev for Paul. He was corner back, and I think three different Clare guys. I think he picked up an all-star after that year, and he was just pure class. He ended up on the inside line again, as did John Carroll, if I'm not mistaken. Paddy, did he?
Yeah.
He was a centre back. He ended up centre forward.
Centre back,
yeah, and for Tipperary as well. You know, those two guys sort of built alike too. You know, they're just very, very strong men. Were well able to pick their scores. Brian Lohan and Shelley had some battles, I think, on many a Sunday down in Parky Kiev.
Jesus, yeah. Your man Carroll was a very underrated player. Was he underrated player in Tip, Paddy? Probably not, but he scored some very important scores.
Great player. John Carroll was absolutely brilliant. But the problem with John Carroll, he was an all-star wing-back in 2000, I believe, maybe 99 or 2000. All-star wing-back. He was on the minor team that won the All-Ireland centre-back. But Tip, and as I say with Paul Shelley as well, another all-star, close to all-star cornerback, two of our best backs around that period had to be put up to forwards because all of a sudden there was a bit of a, which wouldn't be typical in Tip, is we didn't really have too many forwards, and that continued all the way to 2000 and probably 8 or 9. So they were moved up to feel like John Carroll was still brilliant when he went up there. John Carroll, yeah. Like I actually saw a highlight video of him on Facebook or something recently, you could look it up. I actually forgot the touches that he has. Like for a big man, he was great in the air, a bulldozer, unbelievably quick for a big man, but he had a great skill, fantastic skill, and he actually scored some outstanding goals, flicks and
tricks, hadn't he? He had serious wrists, brilliant wrists, marvellous player.
cult hero in Tipperary. And if you ask anyone who would follow Tipperary hurling, he'd be held in the highest of regard, really.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, he definitely was. So listen, I don't even want to ask. Are we being too disrespectful, Niall, to ask the question who wins between the Shamrocks and Ballygunner?
I think Ballygunner. I do. I'm just looking at them, Molly. I'm just looking through teams. If you have Ballygunner playing the rest of Waterford, who'd win it? If you have Ballygunner playing Laois, Westmead, Carlow, Offaly, Antrim, or even Dublin, you should really tip Ballygunner to win it. You know, I think they're almost at an inter-county level the way they play. You know, their movement, their athleticism, you know, their use of the ball. Like I said, the likes of Hutchinson, yeah, but okay. But I was at that game actually 2 years ago in the All-Ireland semi-final.
In Turles, yeah.
Yeah, so I was at that
3 years ago.
3 years ago. And Joey Holland only remarked on it, Willie, I think a couple of weeks back, where a mucky goal mode in Turles actually saved them. Ballygunner had two shots on goal, and the conditions held the ball up and going over the line. And I was actually just opposite. I was on the 21 looking across at it. And Ballyhale just got out the skin of their teeth and they won the All-Ireland. But I just think Ballyhale or Ballygunner have it. I think they'll have the hunger now and they have the motivation. And, you know, have Ballyhale really been tested, Willie? You know, Ryan has took them to extra time, or they took Ryan's to extra time, you know, in the Leinster semi-final. They had it easy enough now in the Leinster final, obviously, Croke Park, the wide open spaces too against Ballycala. So, I don't know, I think Ballygunner could take this one.
Yeah, okay, it'll be interesting to see. We'll get your thoughts on that before the semi-finals anyways. Right, we'll take a break there, lads, and we'll come back with some inter-county talking points. Smaller Fish GEA is powered by Benetti Menswear, who supply a range of tailoring, groomswear, casual menswear, footwear, and accessories. All right, so lads, we're in the middle of the early season competitions, and I'll start with you, Paddy. Are you a fan of these, right? So, we'll get on to it in a little while. Tipperary obviously lost yesterday with an experimental team. Colin Bonner's first game, a little bit embarrassing, let's be honest. Is there an argument to say with, you know, in January, to just organise, you're doing savagely hard training. You know, is it better off if managers could just organise challenge games amongst themselves? There's no national media at it. You can make as many changes as you want. And, you know, there's not that attention on you so early in the season.
Yeah, on one hand, I'd say yes. I used to say that was fine because there wasn't much importance in the league group stages, and I thought that was still pretty relaxed. You know, there was a lot of teams in the league, so you aren't under as much pressure. So I thought, you know, a lot of lads would get their chance in the league. But I actually think now, the way the league is, that, you know, you get relegated if you lost a game or two. So where are these lesser players or young players, fringe players, going to get their chance? And I actually think, looking at it right now, this is well needed for the likes of, just say, a Tipperary team there now who are looking to blood new players. They got a fair test yesterday off Kerry, and by all accounts, a lot of them didn't come up to the challenge. Now, you'd say this is, sure, it's only a small competition. To me, when I used to play, I knew these were my chances. These small matches or these little league matches, whatever you might call them, tournament matches, these were my chance. If I can't do it on this stage, then how am I going to be trusted in National League or obviously onto Championship? So I actually think they're worth it. They will tell the management mentally where that is, because we can all make a lot of excuses during a challenge match. And, look, he was a bit tired. And just, you know, it was a competitive match. You were going out there. And as much as Tipperary losing as a team, right, that's disappointing. Like, at the end of the day, it's another trial match for those players. And 10 of that team that played with Tipperary yesterday have either played Inter-County Championship or are knocking on the door for a couple of years to play Inter-County Championship. So I think if I was Colin Bonner, I'd have learned an awful lot yesterday about who actually is going to put their head on the line for a place on the Tip team, and would have been disappointing. So I do see, at the minute, I actually do think they're not too bad. They're a good one. I think take out the college players, I think isn't a bad thing either, because the league isn't actually a place anymore that you can try these players. It just isn't. It's gone too serious.
Right. From a managerial perspective, Niall, what did you think of them?
Yeah, I liked them, Willie. I always did. Look, the one thing, I suppose, even going in that game yesterday, and we all know this, that you learn more about your team in defeat than you do in victory. You know, so the league is only February the 5th, Laois play Tipperary, the first round of the league. You know, so that's only like 3 weeks away this weekend. You know, so the more games you can get under your belt, the better. But certainly, I definitely was always a fan of them. You know, you can't beat games. You can do some money training games, you know, but you can't beat the competition. So I definitely would be a fan of them, yeah.
It is fairly cutthroat from a player's perspective. Like, I mean, I say the established players aren't too bothered about them because they don't have to prove themselves too much. But say now, like, you have a young lad coming in, right, from a club, and he gets his one shot on the 5th of January in the muck and the shite and the rain's pouring down. And if he doesn't perform that day, he's gone until this trial the following year. Like, you know, it is tough for those lads looking to break on, I suppose.
It is tough, yeah. And you're spot on. The established fellas are probably out in the sun at that stage. And like Paddy and them, that's when they used to be. And, definitely it's hard on a young fella, as you say, an 18, 19-year-old trying to break in who's only learning his trade. But, you know, what better way, I suppose, than trying to get the games under the belt too. And that's I saw it myself, you know, Willie, that the games were brilliant, you know, and even getting people at games. You saw it was, 3,000 at Offaly and Galway yesterday. I know it's Henry's first game, obviously, but, you know, I think the games are just great to have no matter what time of the year.
Yeah, it is good. I had a good few views of these early season competitions because when you're an established player, like, sometimes you wouldn't even be interested in them.
Absolutely.
And then I went back under Justin McNulty when I was about 32, and like, we're playing Wicklow, and I hadn't played for Laois in 2 years, and this almost like felt like a championship match to me. Funny, like, I was like, what's wrong with me here? It's only the Auburn Cup, and I was like, this is my chance. And as it turns out, I didn't play that well, and he never looked at me again.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I can remember I gave a year injured in 2000, I don't know what it was, 12 maybe or something like that, and Eamon O'Shea came back in 13, and I gave the whole year injured. So I remember playing against UCC. I'd say I was even maybe in Cork, jeez, I can't even remember, but I remember that match as in, okay, you, this is your road back to getting back on the Tipperary team, because I'd given the whole year out. So to me, like, as you said, depending on where you are in your career, they're either very important or you mightn't even look up the scoreline and see what happened. But they can be, because it's the start of the confidence, you know, and those small matches build a little confidence in you and with the management as well. And I think, you know, they can be more important than they seem for lads who haven't made it yet.
Yeah,
and particularly only for a new manager. You know, you know, winning is a habit, as we all know. You know, so is losing. So nobody wants to get off to the losing start. So if you have a new manager coming in, you know, like a Colin Bonner or whoever it be, you know, they want to get up and start winning straight away and get the winning mentality in the group.
You see, that's it. That's why I think it's a little bit unfair on Colin Bonner that, like, I mean, you know, I know, Paddy, like, we're not reading anything into this. It's nothing. It's an early season competition. But he still won't like, because he was a left field choice, wasn't he, Paddy? Like, he wasn't the top of the list in Tipperary.
He didn't seem like the person that people were talking about. I don't think there was any real outstanding candidate that was jumping out at you. So I think he had as much a chance as a good few of the candidates that were being talked about. But to me, I wouldn't be massively upset about losing the game itself. But hearing that, you know, there wasn't too many standout performers, that would really worry me, because you need two or three. Even Batlin, a lad with a Batlin performance, or a lad that really put his head on the line and said, yeah, I want to play for Tip. It means this much to me. That's what I would be really, really disappointed with, because when do you start trying them? You know, we heard all last year, why aren't they giving the new players a chance? Why aren't these All-Ireland under 21 players getting a chance?
Right.
And many of them got a chance yesterday and by all accounts didn't take it. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it is important in that sense with where Tipperary are as a team.
From that point of view, I suppose I didn't think of it like that, Niall. Everybody is banging on about Liam Sheedy didn't give them the chance, stuck with the old kind of guns, and then these lads get a chance, lose to Kerry. I don't want to disrespect Kerry, who've been in the last two Joe McDonagh Cup games. Mm-hmm. That was their first ever win in the history since the GAA was founded.
Really?
Over Tipperary. And amazingly, Niall, they were without Kilmiley players, who won the club title, which even makes it even a crazier result.
Absolutely. You know, it's huge for them. Like, well, I would have seen, you know, even myself probably start now, like, if Laois played Tipperary or if Laois played, you know, Galway, for example, in a Walsh Cup game or whoever it be, or Kilkenny, for us, if we got a win over Kilkenny, say, years ago, whatever, back in the 90s, for example, playing, it was always a huge win for us. I remember being manager of Laois and we beat Kilkenny in a Walsh Cup game on Saturday afternoon down in Castlecomer, And it was great. It was Kilkenny's third team, by the way. You know, because the first team are out in Dubai or somewhere. But Cody and Mick Dempsey were sitting on the sideline and we were just chatting to them after. But our lads were just thrilled. We're thrilled that they're after beating Kilkenny on a Saturday afternoon in January in the Welsh Cup game. And it's great for the likes of Kerry, you know. And, you know, in fairness to Colin Bonner, he'd be respectful of that too, you know, for what it is, what it means to Kerry. So, yeah, it's huge for those people. It's huge for the smaller fish, will it?
there's no doubt about that. Stephen Malumpy's their manager, of course, Paddy. Like, I mean, I kind of missed that. He was in with Liam Cahill. That's an interesting move for him. It shows his ambition, I suppose. Like, he's in a very successful setup in his own county, and he decides, right, you know what I'm going to do? I have an opportunity to go, even if it's a Joe McDonagh Cup level, and go out and be a manager in his own right. I suppose, like, is that a... Would you see that as a promotion to go to Joe McDonagh as a manager rather than being in the management team of an All-Ireland contender?
I would probably see it as a promotion myself, because I think when you're the head of something, Niall can speak on this obviously probably with more insight, but I think when you are the main man and everything stops and starts with you, you're laying the foundations, you're laying the pathway to go and actually win something. As part of a management setup, you have to converse, you have to run everything by the management and make sure that they're happy with it. So this is your idea, your philosophies, and you're setting a culture to win. So I do think it's massive now. And as well as that, I thought, I remember reading that he was nearly too busy a couple of years ago to do, he's high ranking in the army, and to do the backroom team with Watford. So it's great to see him back in the mix now fully, because he was a great player in terms of heart and among that Watford team 10 or 11 years ago, he was probably the steadier type of player, steady influence, whereas a lot of the other players were off the cuff and just so flamboyant. But great to see him back. But I think it's a higher level myself. I think he'll even have more time that he'll have to put into it and more sleepless nights.
What do you think, Niall?
Definitely, you know, and Paddy's spot on. Malumpy, he was a marvellous player. He was the engine of that team for a long time, you know. Ken McGrath and himself, you know, they really stood up, Tony Brown. And definitely for him to go alone and take on this mantle shows great ambition on his behalf too. Like, he's a young man, you know, and definitely, look, how many of us will he want to work in backroom teams? There's only so often he can do that. Maybe he got the opportunity to go on his own. And he probably sees himself as a future inter-county manager, maybe of his own county or something like that. A lot of these lads like to cut their teeth, you know, with the lesser-known big inter-county team. So I think it's a great start for him, and it's great to see that, you know.
Yeah, nice the way we had Stephen Malumpy on the list ahead of Henry Shefflin, who we haven't talked about yet. Gone to Kerry. What did you make of this, Paddy? Like, I mean, this was left field. The whole talk was Davy, Davy, Davy.
Yeah.
There was nothing about Henry, and all of a sudden Henry's the Galway manager. It was like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, it was actually brilliant over the winter there, something like that happening. I think it was very, very well pulled off by Galway. Very quiet. And I'm sure that spoke volumes to Henry Shefflin. I would say Henry Shefflin is a very low-key type of character and keeps his hurling and what he says in the media low-key. And I think it was probably a test for the Galway, you know, committee, who was appointing the manager, as much as anything, to see if they... Henry was probably seeing, could they keep it quiet that they were speaking? And they obviously did, because it was, boom, straight in as manager. And I think they've got a great... Obviously, he has no experience at inter-county level management. But what he does bring is that, I'm sure, whatever he says in that Galway dressing room will be followed to the letter of the law. And I often say, even if you have the worst plan in the world, if everybody is following it, you can go a seriously, seriously long way. And I think he'll get a good kick out of those players. Whether Galway have the team to compete for an All-Ireland, I'm not so sure. I think, you know, age-wise, they have a lot of experienced guys who mightn't be performing at their best anymore. And they have a lot of young players that probably haven't the experience or showed well enough yet, much like Tipperary youngsters. But he certainly, I would say, will get a good jump out of him, a good hop out of him. And really interesting to see now, and seeing, you know, how he cuts it at that level.
Yeah, I think it was great for hurling to give it the boost when there wasn't much going on at that time, Niall. Like, I mean, I remember reading it going, geez, that's fantastic. He admitted yesterday he rang Joe Canning, so I suppose he'd need his head read not to try, Niall.
Absolutely. I suppose Joe is what is he about? Is he 32 or 33?
He's around
that, yeah. Yeah, in fairness, a lot of people start to do forget about Joe. He did suffer a lot of injuries in the last few years. You know, and by all accounts, he has a decision made and he's sticking with his decision to retire. Obviously, Henry would make that call. To reflect on what Paddy said, well, I think it was just a marvellous piece of skill in itself for them to keep it so quiet that Henry got the job. I was involved in a committee or a recruitment meeting myself a couple of years ago, and I remember just talking to the secretary here about how we were able to keep it quiet that Eddie Brennan had got the job. And the same thing in Galway, it was a great, because everybody, it was even on the 6-1 news, if you remember, Marty Morrissey was talking about Davey just being ratified the next night in Galway. He was putting his backroom team together, and all of a sudden the next day, bang, Henry Shefflin was announced as the manager. A great move, by the way, I think it's marvellous to see it.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Canning, he's kind of a headstrong sort of fella. He was never going to probably come out of retirement, but it's definitely interesting. The Shefflin versus Cody thing will be interesting, Paddy. I wonder how that relationship, kind of reading between the lines, that last year definitely put a strain on their relationship.
A little bit, but I think probably in reflection, you know, Henry was nearly retired from club hurling a couple of years after that then. You know, I'd say the body was definitely betraying him. He came on against us in the All-Ireland in 14 once or twice, and he just did look like, you know, Father Time was catching up with him a small bit, like it does us all, unfortunately. But I'd say, do you know what? I would say that's gone to the side now. I'd say it's just two hyper-competitive men that'll be going against each other. And do you know what? I doubt either of them will even be thinking about each other when they're coming up against each other. I think when you're that successful, you didn't get there by little small grudges you had against other lads. I think they'll be preparing their own teams. And again, like we said with Ballygunner, it could be some, you know, personal thing, some unsaid competitiveness that might come out, or hunger, but there'll be nothing really about it, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Well, listen, if we don't have Davey versus Brian Lowen, Niall, we might have to build up Shefflin versus Cody. We need some sort of draw.
We need something. You know, we definitely need something. You know, Davey, well, you know, he's a loss too, I suppose, to the inter-county sideline. You know?
No, he definitely is. We'll talk about him just in one second. I wanted to mention Laois here, Niall, and it's not that they lost to Wexford. I don't care about that. That's just an early season game. No big deal. I was just reading on Laois today there, like Kieran Collier, James Ryan, Aaron Dunphy and Lee Clear, they're not going to be part of the panel this year. And it just seems to be, even under Eddie Brennan, when, you know, we had that unbelievable year where we got to the All-Ireland quarterfinal, even the following year, where you would have thought, Niall, Jesus, what a year. Everybody surely is going to commit this year, because Eddie had some issues in his first year and he didn't get everybody in. And it's like, I know when you were in there, I know when you finished up, the county board thanked you for getting everybody involved. Like, how hard is it? You even had Zane Keenan hurling. I think Cheddar got him 1 year. He's worse than I was back in the day, Niall, for coming and going off panels. What is it about Laois hurling that we can't get everybody in the same year hurling?
For as long as I'm looking at the game in this county, I never understand that, but it's always been that way. And look, I'm not, it's my own county, I'm very, very proud of that, and very proud to be able to have played with them and managed them and whatever I do. And, you know, but it always seems, we're just speaking to Willie Hyland only the last couple of days, he was just chatting about one or two of his own club guys who are not in there as well, and he's disappointed with that, to see that. And if anything, like Paddy wouldn't be able to relate to this, Willie, you know, that it doesn't happen in Tipperary. You know, it doesn't happen in Kilkenny. It doesn't happen in Cork, the traditional counties, you know, but for some reason, it seems to be we're always losing that one or two guys where they're not coming in or they won't commit to it. Now, I've no issue whatsoever with a young fella going off travelling if he wants to do that before when he finishes his degree or before he starts a new job in that summer, whatever it be. But, you know, it's disappointing when we know that there's players who have the capability of playing inter-county, but they don't want to make that commitment to it. And for the life of me, I don't know why. I can't relate to it because I played for Laois for 14 years. I loved it. Probably stayed on 2 years too long, as we all probably do. And, you know, it's just, you'd love to be 24 or 5 again, you know, but unfortunately that can't happen. But, you know, I just think it's disappointing to see that because there is players there of serious quality that would help Cheddar's hand no end. And would just, I've always said one thing to our lads when I was with them, that we have great supporters. And we saw that in 2019 when they won the Joe McDonough, and to beat Dublin the following week here in Port Laois, it was a marvellous day for us, a beautiful summer's day. And the following week then in Croke Park, in All-Ireland quarter final against Tip, great Laois crowd at the game. And as you say, even after that, well, the lads had pulled out. And I don't know why. I remember Cody a few years ago just chatting to him. He spoke and addressed him after that Walsh Cup game, actually, just when I reflected on it. I asked him to come in and speak to the players. And I knew by the message he gave the players that day. And I'll always remember the line he gave them when he said that, and Paddy would have probably heard this as a player himself too, that, you know, you get one chance to play this game at a high level for a very short period of time. So it's entirely up to you what you do with that time. You know, so that's the message he was trying to drive home. And I used to always drive that message at them, that commit to it, lads, when you have the chance, because your time will come when you're just not able to play for club or county. it's just disappointing. It's frustrating too, you know.
It's very hard. Like, I mean, I got that message as well, Paddy, and I didn't always listen to it. Sometimes you take it for granted when you're doing it, and it's only when, like, I'm at my age now and I'm looking back at 1 or 2 years I left Leash, and I was like, Jesus, what? That was stupid now. You know, like, I mean, but at the time, in my head, I was completely right in what I was doing, and, you know, it's hard to... the message is completely right, but it's hard to convince a young lad who thinks he knows it all, I suppose.
Yeah, it's really difficult, and it is. I wouldn't be kind of saying, "Oh, jeez, why don't you do it like it is in Kilkenny or in Tipperary?" I understand that there is a little bit more like, well, maybe it's not worth going in, or maybe I'd be better off at my club. And I think that kind of feeling can go around. Some I know it happens in Carlow a good bit as well if you're talking about hurling teams, and I don't know exactly the reason why. I think do some teams feel like, well, we're not going to maybe get the success we want at intercounty level with cups and stuff, so maybe I will with my club, and I really enjoy that element of it. So sometimes I feel like that's the reason. But now I think with the split season, I'd really hope that would help it, that they'd say, well, I love hurling, so I'm going to actually commit my first 5-6 months to intercounty, and I can help my and hurl at a really high level. And then I have all the time to help my club after that as well. It's not as if I'm leaving my club in the lurch, or that my time would be better spent with my club. I actually can do both, and I'd love to see it a little bit more, because if you did get a fully competitive Leash team, all their players together, all going in one direction, then why can't they have a very good year like they had in 2019 every year? Because we know there are huge pockets of Leash. It's not pockets. Most of Leash is mad on hurling. So why can't they just keep showing it on? Let's try and keep and push this on and get the culture going for all the best players to be in there all year long. And I know it's a huge commitment, you see. That's the other side of it. Playing intercounty is absolutely massive commitment, but it is so enjoyable as well. And hurling at that level, like playing against the best teams, if they could be playing the Kilkennys, playing against the Galways and Leinster, I mean, I think that's what it's all about. Competing against, you know, TJ Reid, say, am I able to fly with this lad? Am I able to hold my own with this lad? And, you know, I'd love to see him, that they do, because, you know, as hurling people, that's what we want. We're a small enough sport in Ireland, with people participating, so I'd love to see as many going in as could.
That's a good point that Paddy made, Niall. It is a much shorter season now. The All-Ireland Final's the 17th of July.
Right.
Like, this is unprecedented.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's like, oh geez, it is a terrible commitment. But like, if you can't go from February to July, you know what I mean? It's
right,
not that long of a time.
It's not that long, Willie. And the championship, the Leinster Championship, actually starts April the 16th. Dublin play Leash on April 16th. Following me to play Sleash and Kilkenny in Nolan Park. You know, and with the split season in now, which I'm, to be honest, I'm glad to see it's in, because it gives every manager of both club and county a clear pathway themselves. And, yeah, look, I suppose, reflecting on what Paddy has said there too, and he's spot on, well, the one thing that would be a standout thing, and you would have saw it yourself, say, playing from Whitleash or whatever, compared to the likes of Paddy being a Tipperary hurler. You know, there's a strong possibility, for example, that Tipperary was going to be in a minimum an All-Ireland quarter-final now, minimum All-Ireland semi-final. Whereas if you're at our level, maybe, you know, you're probably, you have to do the same amount of training, you have to make the same type of commitment, probably knowing that you're not going to get to that same level. But why not try? Why not have the goal? Why not have the ambition to want to do that? You know, I think any hurler that's worth his salt, you know, should always be looking to do that. We all done that as young lads starting out. I remember I certainly did. I used to always really want to play in the opposition's best player. I was probably cleaned out so many times, but it was a learning curve, and probably to be able to tell yourself, look, at least you had the whereabouts to try and do it, you know. And you'll never know unless you do that. As Paddy said, you know, lads looking to play in the likes of TJ Reid, or looking to play, you know, on the Desi Hutchinsons or whoever it be, to test yourself as a player, to try and improve yourself as a player in order. And that can only benefit one group at the end of the day, which is your club. You know, if you're playing at intercounty level, getting all the top, the way the sports science is today, you're getting the best training, and you know, that's only going to benefit your club in the long run.
No, it definitely will. Like, I mean, I was actually reading, in your 14 years, they got some cheek given out about not getting too far in the championship, or if that's the reason, because when you were playing, you played 14 years with Leash, and in 10 of the years, you lost in the first round.
That's right.
Like, I mean,
and
that's
no back door.
A disaster.
Yeah.
No back door. That's it.
Gone. Yeah, gone in May, June, nearly every year, you know, and was it 97 was the first year it actually came in the back door? You know, not till then. So, yeah, it was a short year for us a lot of times.
Yeah, crazy. It was a straight knockout the first straight couple of years that I played. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's mad. It seems like it's so long ago. What did you make of the Liam Sheedy to Monaghan, Paddy? Like, I mean, it's definitely a strange one. Maybe, obviously, I think, obviously, the qualities he'll have while he'd be a hurling man, I don't think he'd know much about football. I'd say it's on the psychological side. What can we do to get over the line? Because Monaghan wouldn't be a million miles away from your team back in, you know, 09-10. Close, but no cigar kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely think that's it. I think I'm nearly sure Banty and himself have a relationship from maybe some sort of committee, GA committee, that was going on before. So I'd say that would be important to Liam. And I think it's a question of a challenge. Liam Sheedy loves a challenge. And as you said, it's definitely in the psychological performance area. Like, I think there's nearly, you know, sports psychologist is nearly a dirty word around panels these days. I think they changed it to performance coach or what, some other term, just to take the onus off it or the stigma off it. So I would say and I'd say, like, he could maybe go and speak to players, fine, but I think speaking to management, kind of given his experience, given his opinion, of course he knows nothing about football, next to nothing about football. That's fine. But, you know, being in the right mind frame, setting up a team the right way in terms of their preparation, their routines, their culture, advising on all that sort of thing, that's nothing got to do with football. That's absolutely nothing got to do with football. And as I say, you know, every great sports person in the world, be our team, have a sports psychologist, and you can be fairly certain that most of the sports psychologists involved with them having a clue about their sport in any way that they do. So it's all about the mind, all about preparation, and how can we get the extra, I suppose, percentage points.
I was talking about this on Twitter. They're called performance coaches because, like, they're sports psychologist, because he doesn't have any kind of degree or qualifications in psychology. And I think that's how it's changed, that there was a lot of people calling themselves sports psychologists that didn't have those qualifications. So now sports psychologists have to have certain degrees or, you know, whatever psychology background. And then the likes of Liam Sheedy's a performance coach. Niall, I suppose, because, you know, they've maybe broadened it out. They all have new terms and everything, but I think that's the reason for that.
Yeah, definitely. And in fairness, I think it's a great coup for Monaghan football at best of case. But, you know, it's that winning mentality that Liam Sheedy would have. I would have serious time for Liam, and, you know, what he done in Tipperary was marvellous. But if you even watched him, Wooly, he's a hands-on manager. You know, there was a great clip of him there recently, you know, the clapping coming off the field. And, you know, he was just so engrossed in his team. He puts all his energy in his team. And that's why, you know, on two separate occasions, he got an All-Ireland each time. And he's just bringing that winning culture, that winning mentality, you know, to the likes of Monaghan now. And so why not use and utilise somebody like that if that person is available?
Yeah, no, exactly. What about Davy then, Paddy? I think hurling's poorer this year for not having him involved. He's involved with the Cork Camogie backroom team. A very strange choice for him. I'd say he was really stung. I'd say he had all his eggs in the Galway basket, pretty much, you know, and not saying that. Well, I suppose, let's be honest, the Cork Camogie team, would be a step down from, you know, the men's senior in the county game. But I suppose hurling's such a small it's a small group of top level teams that he, you know, would be looking to get in with. You maybe have 9 or 10, and there's a few. Cork, Kilkenny, Tip wouldn't take him, so now you're down to 6, and he's managed Waterford and he's managed Wexford. Yeah. So, like, I mean, you know, the net is closing.
How do you know? How do you know Tip wouldn't take him?
Jesus.
I think he might take Rosie.
So it will listen, I've a love hate relationship with Davy. I don't know the man at all, but there's times I really like him and there's times I can't stand listening to him. Yeah. But, like, I mean, at the same time, the year is going to be a lot duller without him being involved.
Definitely, and I suppose I'm the same as you. I think a lot of what he does and how he acts on the sideline, or even what he says or what he takes issues with, I wouldn't agree with it at all. But at the end of the day, we love to see characters. And if they're how good they are at what they do sometimes is irrelevant. Now, he is a very, very good coach and has shown himself to be a good manager in places, especially early on. But he certainly the interviews after and the histrionics and all that on the sideline, there's always something with Davy. you know, and even the Galway job, there was always something with it. And afterwards, I didn't really want it, or I kind of half wanted it. And now he actually wants to coach so much, he's going out to Cork every, you know, two or three times a week. So, you know, I'd say the only thing is, that man probably couldn't sit at home for more than 10 minutes and watch telly. He doesn't come across to me as a television watching man. So I'd say he'd have to be involved with something. And he's been a few years with his local club as well, so that might be winding down too for him. So he's gone into the ladies' game. And look, the only thing I'd say is the ladies' game's profile has really lifted over the last few years since 20 by 20 initiative. And I think, you know, it could come in for a lot of people laughing at it and saying, all right, look at what they're doing. It's in my mind a lot more. It's in the media a lot more. And the profile of it is up higher. And I think that's important to Davey. And maybe, who knows, there could be a new niche and a new pond opening up for him in the Camogie side of things.
Yeah, maybe. He seems to be really addicted to it now. Like, I mean, you probably know that. Like, I was talking about this last year, how management must be addictive. And, like, I suppose you went into leash management, you're with James Stevens. Like, you even answered a call with the Portlaoise footballers in recent years. Like, I mean, when Davey gets called from the Cork Camogie team and he doesn't have, you know, he's not with a team, like, I suppose if you're just so used to it, it must be hard to say no.
Yeah, well, I think that's what Paddy's in for saying. I don't think the man would be able to sit down for 10 minutes. He certainly comes across that way. You know, I'm not a fan of his antics at all, to be honest with you. You know, I think there's times it's almost embarrassing the way he was carrying on some of the times. It was always the world against me. And, you know, but he is, look, I think to be fair to him, he got success with Waterford, he got success with Wexford, he won an All-Ireland with Clare. You know, to be fair to him, you know, he has done really well. You'd love to just see him, like we spoke with Liam Sheedy, putting all his energy into that team, his own players, instead of, you know, looking to argue and fight with players on a pitch in Nolan Park and Wexford building a box for him to sit in the stand because he's suspended and all this. You know, I don't know what that's about. I've never seen a GAA manager outside of Davey carry on like that. If people say he's good for the game, that's great. I don't agree. But look, I think it's probably, as you know, as well as what Paddy's also saying, the ladies' game now is actually taking off, and it's great to see. You know, the more profile that they can get, the better. And Davey is a high-profile individual. You know, he certainly will bring that with him no matter where he goes. It is good to see. And, you know, but I think he's a little bit sore, probably a little bit stung over the Galway job for definite.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. I'm not sure his antics are good for hurling. They're very good for my job.
Yeah, 100%.
who talks about hurling? Right, yeah. Boys, we're going to leave it there. That's it for today's show. Thanks for everybody for listening. And remember, Smaller Fish GAA is powered by Benetti Menswear. It's an Irish brand who are one of Ireland's leading menswear suppliers. Good luck.
Smaller Fish Hurling Show, huh? I wouldn't listen to that gutless show if you paid. That's wrong.
These bluffers know as much about top-level hurling as I do about the sleeping habits of the Ayatollah.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's harder to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.